Welcome back to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. This is season 2, episode 44. It's the week of the NBA play-in tournament. I'm Steve St. Pierre. Today, we're going to get into the results of the WNBA draft and make predictions on the NBA play-in tournament. We'll also discuss our upcoming draft for our Fantrax NBA Playoff Commissioner League. Let's get right into our first thing.
Name on your paper, first thing.
We're going to start off today talking about former NBA player Nate Robinson. Unfortunately, he needs a kidney replacement due to renal failure. He's been battling this for a few years now, he had previously announced, and it's to the point now where if he doesn't get a new kidney, he might not have much longer to live. So obviously we're all praying and hoping that he finds a replacement and can obviously get better. You know, he's a legendary slam dunk champion, most notably, you know, played for the New York Knicks. He played for other teams as well. But everybody remembers him on those Knicks teams, and they remember the famous slam dunk competition between he and Dwight Howard. A lot of awesome memories. Seattle native, and just a fun guy to watch and root for. And obviously, we're sending out thoughts and prayers to Nate and his family. A little bit more positive news here. We're going to talk about former Piston Boban Marjanovic.
Fresh milk.
Everybody loves Boban, and this is just another reason why. For anybody who didn't see the final game of the NBA regular season between the Rockets and the Clippers in LA, Boban was on the free throw line, and he purposely missed both of his free throws in order to give Clippers fans free Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Golden Nuggets.
And he missed the first free throw, and then you could see the camera show him. He says, "Chicken on me." You know, he lets the fans know that he's going to get them their free chicken. So that was really cool, really funny to watch. I was actually watching that game on NBA TV. They were showing a feed. And I love watching him. And I miss him from his days on the Pistons, and obviously he's played for several other teams, and he's just the man. And then another classy move here, Clippers owner Steve Ballmer wound up picking up the tab on all concessions during that game. So just a really cool move. You know, the Clippers, speaking of moving, the Clippers are getting ready to move into a new building. So just a really cool thing to do for their fans, just kind of hook them up, you know, here before the playoffs begin. And we've got some news on the Clippers, so stay tuned to that. Just a little tease there for our news and notes segment. And then one more thing I just wanted to bring up, and I've been kind of sitting on this one for a couple weeks now, but just another shout out to my Oakland University Golden Grizzlies.
Boom, shagalaga.
Jack Golke, just the sharpshooter, came off the bench and hit 10 threes. We talked all about him. He participated in college basketball's Hot Shot Challenge, and he and his team sunk every single shot, and it's really cool. We're going to post it on our X/Twitter page. He's the man. He's such a good shooter, and apparently it's contagious, so just wanted to bring that up. I felt like this was a pretty fitting time to do so, and just another shout-out to the Grizz. Let's go ahead and get into our news and notes at this point. And we're going to start off with positive news on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We mentioned this last week. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams had both missed several games. SGA was dealing with a right quad contusion, and J-Dub had a sprained left ankle. They both returned April 9th. They both looked really good here, closing out the regular season. And just as I had said, just kind of a day-to-day kind of thing, just, you know, precautionary move, just sit them down, rest them, get them ready for the playoffs. So they should be good to go. The same, unfortunately, cannot be said for Kawhi Leonard of the Clippers, and that's what I was just alluding to a minute ago. He's dealing right now with right knee inflammation. He's missed several games, and there hasn't been an update on him yet. So for now, I'm just going to say he's day to day slash out indefinitely. We don't have an update yet. Hopefully he has just been resting and can come back and play here in the playoffs. We'll have to see. This other news here is even more serious, I think. Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Bucks, he's been dealing with a strained left calf, and he sounds like he is going to miss game one of the playoffs and their matchup with the Indiana Pacers. So that's huge. You know, we're going to get into our second segment here where we talk about the play-in tournament, and we're going to go over some playoff predictions as well. I'm not feeling too good about the Milwaukee Bucks right now. So this is bad news. You know, and Giannis is no stranger to this. He's missed time before, and it is, you know, for obvious reasons, it's really hurt their team and their chances of winning. So we'll just have to see what happens here. Got an update on the Atlanta Hawks. Good and bad news here. So Trae Young, we talk about how he had been out for a while with the torn left pinky finger. He returned April 10th, and he's looked pretty good. So hopefully he should be okay for them in the play-in tournament here. But two guys we will not see are Jalen Johnson and Onyeka Okongwu.
One in, one out.
And we talked about Okongwu last week. We said that he was out indefinitely with the sprained left big toe. They gave a formal update, and they said that he's going to be reevaluated in a few weeks. So unless they make the playoffs and make a semi-deep run here, we're probably not going to see him. And then same can be said for Jalen Johnson. Unfortunately, he's still dealing with the sprained right ankle. He tweaked it again. He's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks. So, yeah, that really sucks for Atlanta. They're going to have a hard time here in the play-in. We'll get more into that here shortly, but yeah, they're just going to have to go small and just kind of hope for the best. Some good news on Karl Anthony Towns. We talked about how he was making his way back, and he did return April 12th, and he's looked all right. Hopefully he should be good to go here for the playoffs. Bad news on Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat. He's missed the last several games with neck spasms, and there hasn't been an update on him. I'm going to be pretty stunned if he's not able to go for the play-in. I think he plays, but we'll have to see. There hasn't been an update yet, so we'll pass that along and let you know. And we'll keep you posted on what winds up happening with them in the play-in. Good news, D'Anthony Melton, he was out for a long time for the 76ers with back and spine injuries. He returned April 9th. He's just, they're going to take their time with him. He's been out for so long, and they've been rolling with other guys in their lineup, guys like Kelly Oubre Jr., Buddy Hield. So they're not going to, you know, just throw Melton into major minutes. I think they'll use him kind of situationally. And he's going to be tough to trust moving forward in fantasy and stuff like that. If you're doing any fantasy playoff leagues or if you're doing DFS, he's not a guy that I really recommend using right now. But we'll have to see. You know, I think if the right situation calls for it, you know, if they need some defensive stops and stuff like that, I could see him getting, you know, having some stretches where he plays, you know, a little bit more significant minutes. But other than that, you know, he's going to be real, you know, hit or miss here. Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans, he had been out for a while with the left knee contusion. He returned April 14th, and they're going to need him. They're in the play-in. They're facing the Lakers. We'll get more into that here shortly. And then last bit of injury news here. Ayo Dosunmu for the Chicago Bulls, he's been dealing with a right quad contusion, and he's missed the last several games. There hasn't been an update yet on him, and he's another one. Like, I think he has to play. He has to suit up. If they don't have him, it's already going to be tough for them. But if they don't have him, I don't think they stand a chance at this point, just because they're missing so many other guys right now. But we'll have to wait and see here. Let's get into some transactions. We'll start off first with some coaching news. Jordy Fernandez is set to be hired as the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. He's coming over from Sacramento. He's been an assistant coach the last few years with them. Before, he was an assistant with the Denver Nuggets and also the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he's a younger guy. He's from Spain. And, you know, he's well-respected in the NBA. He's a guy that was in a lot of coaching rumors last summer. So sounds like it's a good hire. Sounds like it's somebody who definitely deserves a shot. You know, we've talked all about the Nets, and they've got a big summer ahead of them here. Their starting center, Nick Claxton's a free agent, so that's going to be their biggest kind of decision to make here in the near future. But obviously they've got a lot of like long-term stuff they've got to worry about as well. So we'll get more into that obviously as the off season continues here, but, yeah, seems like a good hire and, good for him. Let's get into some player news here. We'll talk about Isaiah Thomas first. He did wind up signing with the Phoenix Suns for the rest of the season. So they'll have him for the playoffs. We've talked all about it. He hasn't played much at all. But just a really cool story. Glad he's back in the NBA. Definitely rooting for him. And kind of fitting, you know, another guy from Seattle, you know, smaller guy. We just talked about Nate Robinson. So I'm sure Nate's watching him and rooting for him. That's a really cool story. And then another cool story is Nikhil Keita from the Boston Celtics. He was converted to a standard contract with them. So they'll have him for the playoffs. And he's a guy that, you know, when they're fully healthy, he's probably not in the rotation, but he did get some run down the stretch to end the regular season and he played really well. So he definitely earned a spot on their team, on their roster. And so that's cool. We talked about the Clippers. They actually wound up signing Kai Jones. Jones spent time previously with the Philadelphia 76ers, but the Clippers apparently were keeping tabs on Jones all season long, and they wound up reaching out to him and signing him late in the year. They signed him to a multi-year contract, and in order to make room for him, they waived Joshua Primo. So taking a gamble on one guy and then switching gears and taking a gamble on another guy. So both of those two have some checkered pasts, to say the least. And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, Jones is a former first-round pick. He has upside. And, you know, with an older team like the Clippers, it doesn't hurt them to just roll the dice and, you know, take a gamble on a younger guy on a cheap contract that they can just kind of monitor. So it's a smart move. Usman Garuba, he was converted to a standard contract with the Warriors. So they'll have him for the playoffs. The New Orleans Pelicans converted Matt Ryan to a standard contract. So he's all set for the play-in and the playoffs if they make it. And then Ricky Council IV was converted to a standard four-year contract with the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's all I got, my brother.
And that's pretty much going to do it for news and notes here. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will have our WNBA update. We'll talk all about the draft. And like I said, we're going to get into the NBA play-in and playoffs. We're going to talk about our predictions and just kind of break it all down. So stay tuned. Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle. All right, we're back here and well. Look who we got here. The great Friendly Scott face. Keller. Great Scott.
That's it. Yep. I am here. I'm
a wonderful co-host. Welcome back. Back,
baby.
We're back.
Yep. Nope, we are, it's good back, to be back. Baby. Obviously, we had a little tease last week with me returning for the sweet interview. But
that was more than a little tease.
Yeah.
It's getting rave reviews.
It is. It is.
My parents finally listened to it and they really liked it.
Yeah.
No. So it's out there.
No,
it was
good.
In all seriousness, it was a fantastic interview. It was all spearheaded by you. So huge shout out and credit to yourself again. Thank you.
You're
it was
welcome.
Amazing. And yeah, they were great. They're such great guys. I can't wait to have them on the pod again. Can't wait to do part two. It's going to be awesome. Hopefully we'll get them all on there.
I mean, I got to say too, I don't know if it was Tim that initiated the texturing back when I thought of this, or Brian. It was both of them, your brother, were on it too. And somehow, you know, somebody just, you know, sent a clip of April and the D, and then it kind of evolved from there real quick. And I was like, damn, we got to get somebody on the pod. You know, we got to get somebody on the pod, and it materialized and actually worked. So
yeah, awesome. Whoever it was, good call. And yeah, it was awesome. And can't wait to do it again, but also can't wait to do this pod and talk about everything that we're going to talk about. So like we said, we're going to get into the NBA play-in tournament, and we're going to touch a little bit on playoffs. I think we should maybe do like first round predictions, kind of like we did last year.
Agreed.
But first, let's go ahead and get into our WNBA update.
Here's the update.
And we're going to start by pretty much just breaking down the draft. Today is April 16th, so the draft was last night. And I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to you, my friend. What you got?
Sure. Let's see. I guess I got on last week, and I put some on Twitter. I put some predictions for the top 10 of the draft.
You did. Some fantastic predictions, I'll add.
I was going to say, they actually were pretty good. Obviously, I think only four of them materialize, but that kind of just happens with drafts, right? But
yeah, especially smaller drafts.
Yeah, I was gonna say WNBA draft is so weird because like it's three rounds, whatever. Then, you know, NBA draft is short too, but a lot of these players just don't make the draft or don't even make the
exactly.
teams.
Yeah, exactly. There just aren't many positions available, so a good majority of these players who get drafted aren't guaranteed anything.
Yeah, you've got teams like, you know, defending champ you know, the Aces, Las Vegas Aces, and, you know, they've made three picks, I believe it was, and, you know, they lost their first round pick, obviously, from past reasons with whatever, we won't go into that, but but anyways, every single one of their picks may not make the team, because, you know, that's just the nature of the beast that we're dealing with the WNBA, but, you know, hopefully, eventually, with all this talent. You got two things here, I think, that you got to look at. One, you got to get some more teams in here. We've got the Bay Area, Golden State, WNBA team coming next year. But yeah,
sounds like Portland might be getting a team.
Yep, quite possibly. They're looking to move that way. So,
and there's been some talk about Detroit.
There you go.
Not a lot of talk, but there's been some talk. There's been some rumblings.
I would say we're definitely getting more and more talented women playing basketball, and they're getting better and better. It's
absolutely
kind of the same as the skill set in the NBA, except the NBA has, you know, 30 teams, whereas this one we don't have that with the WNBA. So yeah. But I think that kind of leads into a thing where you're going to have more parity in the WNBA league. We got so used to having mm-hmm. these super teams with Las Vegas and New York now, and
they're still there.
Exactly, they're still there. Seattle's building theirs. But yeah, there's teams coming now, like we always talk about, our favorite Dallas Wings. They're not too far away. I think they're real close to competing,
right,
maybe
there.
Even this year. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's not going to be those two teams now. It's going to be maybe four or five, six teams competing a little bit more.
Yeah, no question.
But yeah, I mean, we can break down. I don't think you have to break down the draft that far past maybe the first eight picks or something in the first round, because I think those are the ones that really might make impact. And obviously, this is a fantasy podcast too. So those eight ladies should have some fantasy impact as well. But I think no brainer, right? Number one, Indiana Fever took Caitlin Clark, the best guard, the best player, most likely overall here in the draft. That was crazy. I think Fanatics said something like they sold out of all their Caitlin Clark apparel the first that night, last night. You know, the stadium, Indianapolis, was just full of people for a watch party. It was pretty cool to see.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't think there's any arguments with her going number one. Now, number two, I guess I should say too, there were three teams with two first round picks this year. So not every team had, you know, multiple picks, or some had no picks, but, LA Sparks were one of those teams that had two picks, and fortunate for them, two in the top four, the number two and the number four pick. A lot of people, it was kind of 50-50 if you looked at overall analyst picks on who was going to go number two. Cameron Brink from Stanford, power forward, went number two, and that was also what I picked. And yeah, the top four I got right perfectly. My siren is needed for that, but Cameron Brink, played at Stanford, California. You go to North California to Southern California to go to LA. I just thought it made sense, and she is one of the best players in the draft. So, you know, great defensive player, and then they took her. Also, I should mention again, you know, the god sister of Steph Curry.
Yep,
we mentioned that in an episode in the past, and they were all over it on the WNBA coverage yesterday. But
yes, they were.
But they paired her up with the exact same person I wanted to pair her up with, and that's Rekia Jackson out of Tennessee, which I think might be one of the best all-around players in the draft. So that pairing in LA is going to be amazing.
And that team is going to be fun in terms of fantasy. It's going to be cool to see how it all shakes out in terms of the rotations and stuff.
I agree. I think maybe the two that are going to make the most impact in fantasy might be those two players, Brink and Jackson, because they don't have a bunch of other kind of superstar players, I guess, if you will, star players around them yet right now. So those.
Yeah, they got a bunch that, like, that, you know, in terms of like who's going to be, you know, the number one, number two, number three option, like it's all kind of open with that team. So.
Yep. Whereas you got Caitlin Clark, number one overall, but you got, you know, Aaliyah Boston over there. And you've got other players in Indiana, like Kelsey Mitchell. They've got great players over there. So she may not get as much, touches and, you know, fantasy points as far as fantasy is concerned as somebody like Cameron Brink might get. So
Caitlin Clark's probably going to get overdrafted in fantasy.
I would think so.
Well, we'll see. I mean, she also is good enough to, you know, potentially surpass those other teammates of hers. We'll have to see, but
yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how fast they bring her up and, you know, start. I assume she's starting right away, obviously, but
there's,
you know,
definitely demand. I was going to say,
yeah. What's going to be her game plan here is she talked about in a conference after she got drafted yesterday, you know, my job is to get the ball to Aaliyah Boston. That's what she said, you know,
as a
point guard. So that's the right thing to say, but how much of that is true? How much are you shooting? You know, I don't know.
We'll find
out. But I think they're going to make each other better, obviously. So,
yeah.
But anyways, you move down. So that was the two and the four for the Sparks. Like I said, Rekia Jackson, she's awesome. She's going to be great. A lot of people, Chicago Sky, their first pick was the number three pick, took Camila Cardoso out of South Carolina. We saw her throughout the women's NCAA tournament be awesome and lead them to a perfect season. I actually thought she was probably good enough to go number two, but in my prediction, I took Cameron Brink just because of the California connection there. Chicago Sky's got a great center to start building around. And then they also had the number seven pick and paired her up with Angel Reese out of LSU. So they've got some twin towers going there.
I like it.
It's going to be defensive. They're going to build around the defense. And I don't have any issues with any of that. I think Angel Reese, actually, I thought she was going to go six, and she slipped down to seven, but there's a reason, I think, for that. But I don't know if you have anything else on those two.
No, let's keep it going.
Let's see. So where was I at? That was three. I did four. The heck was five. Oh, number five. That's where I have to get to. JC Sheldon out of Ohio State, the Buckeyes. The first guard, well, other than Caitlin Clark, the first best guard in the draft to go after Caitlin Clark. The Dallas Wings, we knew they needed guards. They have, obviously, Ogunbowale, but they needed somebody else to pair up with her in the backcourt, and they had the 5 and the 9 pick, and they took guards at 5 and 9. J.C. Sheldon, I think, is the best one for sure, but I think we'll have to see how this plays out, but I think they may have reached for J.C. Sheldon a little bit. I think you might have been able to take somebody else in that position, and you might have
they could have took Reese.
They could have taken Reese. I had them taking, what's her name, out of UConn?
Aaliyah Edwards.
Yes, Aaliyah Edwards. And I think that's more where somebody like that should have gone. And I think J.C. Sheldon probably would have fallen down, and they still might have been able to get her at 9. It's debatable, right? You're rolling the dice. You're taking a risk to see if she's still available there. But I think they could have taken that risk, because they ended up taking another point guard. I'm not sure on the pronunciation here. Carla Leit from France. France is actually taking over the WNBA draft as well as the NBA draft. two French players went 9 and 10. But like I said, they took another guard, and then they took another guard at pick 33 in their third round pick. So we knew they wanted to get guards, but I think they could have gotten, you know, maybe the best player available and then still got a great guard at a later pick. But the Dallas Wings are stacked, so I don't think it's going to hurt them by any means. They made it a priority, and that's what they did. And that's why I think Angel Reese ended up falling to 7, because Aaliyah Edwards then went at 6. So,
yeah, and it was a good draft, and I keep saying it, I cannot wait for fantasy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. I think, like I said, I think a lot of these teams, obviously they got better. I feel bad for some of the people that are going to lose their jobs, obviously, but
yeah.
Expansion is definitely needed. It's one of those things that needs to be done. But I got to get this out there on the podcast too, but Abby Hsu, we talked about her in the past. I think she was the first thing of a few weeks, well, maybe months ago now.
Yeah.
Plays for Columbia. You know, she was at Parkland and all that stuff we had talked about, but she was drafted in third round to Connecticut Sun. She's my sleeper of the draft. So look out for her.
I like it.
Boom, shagalaga.
All right, man. Well, should we go ahead and get into the NBA stuff now?
I think so. I mean, I could talk about WNBA forever, but I don't think everybody wants to hear that forever. If you do, let's see now.
Let us know.
More WNBA, I mean, if you got requests.
We do some spinoffs and stuff. We got all kinds of options. But yeah.
You know, I forgot one person too. Alyssa Pealy went to Minnesota there at 8, and she's one of those top players too.
Yeah, that was a good pick. Good call. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into the playoff situation here. So obviously, like I said, today is April 16th. It is the start of the NBA play-in tournament. And I think we should go ahead and start with those matchups first. You want to go west or east?
I guess I'll let you choose which way you want to go. All I gotta say coming out of this is you talked to me the other day. You were putting your bracket together, and then I started putting mine together yesterday. I'm still not sold on where I'm at, and I am 0% confident on any winner. Like, there's no 100% like no brainer. This is a team that's going to win the first round. Not on either side.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
No, I agree.
It's fun, but yeah, no, however you'd like to break it down. Which
all
side?
Right, let's go home court. You and I are in Michigan.
There you go.
We're in the Eastern Conference, so let's start in the East. And so we've got the 7-8 matchup. We've got Philadelphia 76ers, Miami Heat. I'll go ahead and go first.
Yep.
I've got Philly. I think Philly wins that game, and they take the 7th seed.
Yeah, I've got Philly as well. Obviously, Miami scares me going to the finals last year, and playoff Jimmy, you never know what you're going to get.
Yep.
Not you never know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get awesome playoff Jimmy. You just don't know how high he's going to elevate that team. But yeah. I think the injuries right now in Miami are just too much. No Terry Rozier, most likely. Duncan Robinson, probably don't have him for the playoff game as well. If you don't have those two players, There's still a way. I think Miami can win. But I think, yeah, at this point, I think Philadelphia is the better team right now in a one game head-to-head playing game.
I have a gut feeling that Duncan Robinson and Terry Rozier are both going to suit up, but I don't think that either of them obviously are going to be at 100%.
Yeah.
But if, especially Rozier, if he's out, DeLon Wright could be a guy to look at least in DFS.
Yep.
So definitely, you know, keep him in mind. But, you know, we talked about Tyler Hero's back now.
Correct.
Obviously, Jimmy, Bam, they're going to do their thing.
Bam Adebayo.
What scares me is their lack, and we've talked about this all season long, but like their lack of front court depth. And now I saw the other night Kevin Love got hurt again. Highsmith has been in and out of the rotation. Same pretty much can be said about Caleb Martin. And I just don't think they've had enough consistency going into this playoffs to go on the kind of run that they've had in the past. I could be wrong. We've both been wrong on that before, but I do think Miami winds up getting in the eighth seed, and we'll get into that here. But yeah, as far as the 7-8 matchup goes, I've got Philly taking it.
I was going to say, I think it's really funny because the way the brackets are broken down, that side right here for the 7 seed on the East to play the Knicks in the first round, obviously would be that the winner of the game we're discussing. I think that's somewhat the most unpredictable, maybe / easiest part of any half of a bracket. And I think it's funny also that right now we're seeing that the 7 seed is probably, at least I'm saying it right now, is probably an advantage over the 8 seed. You don't want to play Boston and then have to play the winner of Cleveland and Orlando. Whereas on the Western Conference, obviously we're going to get into that, the 7 seed is probably less preferable than the 8 seed. It's
a
complete opposite. So yeah, it's an interesting scenario.
I agree. Yep. but yeah, so I think Philly's going to wind up taking the 7th spot. And then so for the 9-10 matchup, Chicago Bulls, Atlanta Hawks, I don't really know. I don't really know who's going to win that game, but I think the winner will wind up losing to Miami. That's how I see it playing out. And I don't know, because both of these teams are all banged up, and I touched on it in our previous segment, but Chicago and Atlanta, you know, Atlanta's got a bunch of their big guys out. Trae Young just came back. He's looked okay. He's looked pretty good, but he's been out of the lineup. That's another example of just not having that continuity. And I'm big on coming in with momentum. If you have momentum, that's a huge advantage. If you don't have momentum, it's a huge disadvantage. And, you know, Chicago, we've talked all about them. They've just been, you know, they're running out of bodies. And I mentioned in the previous segment, Dosunmu is questionable and he's been out. And if they don't have him, I don't think they stand a chance. I don't even know if they get past the Hawks if they don't have Dosunmu in their lineup.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I think Miami, can at that chance, when they get that opportunity, rise above either of those two teams. It is difficult. I think it goes into two of these X factors. I think you could talk about them in the game, the 76ers Miami game we're talking about too. I think guys like, you know, Jaime Jaquez could be very important to their success moving forward. And I think that's the same idea of moving into these games, whoever they end up playing, whether it's Chicago or Atlanta. I think those guys are going to be able to step up and take them over the hump. Can they get them past, you know, Boston? Probably not, but that's to be seen. If I had to pick one between Chicago and Atlanta, who they're going to play, I might be leaning towards Atlanta right now, just because of I feel like they got a little more postseason experience. I mean, they took Boston to 6 games last year in the first round, and they played their way into that, getting that seed. So I think they could do it again. Like you said, Trae Young being back, obviously, you know, that's a huge, huge benefit to have him back. And, but yeah, I, I, I don't know. If I had to guess one way, I feel like Chicago is a better team all around, and I think they've had a better year just to in the second half of the year. But the injuries derailed Atlanta the whole time. So if they get some of these guys back, they could beat Chicago, and I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Completely agree.
But yeah, moving on, like you said, I would think Miami takes out either one of those, though.
Yeah. Should we go ahead and do Western Conference play-in, and then we'll get into first round? Okay, cool. So
this side's a little more fun, I think.
It is. So we've got the 7-8 matchup in the Western Conference. We got New Orleans Pelicans, LA Lakers. I've got the Lakers pretty easily. I think they've dominated during the regular season. You know, I talked about Brandon Ingram just coming back. So again, just lack of momentum there. I think it's, to me, it's pretty easy. I'd be stunned to see the Lakers lose this game.
Same. As long as we've seen some things with Anthony Davis, you know, him wincing back to the sideline the other day, as long as he's, 65-70% of an Anthony Davis in this game.
Yes, that's a good call.
They should be able to move on past New Orleans. There's been all the talk that, you know, maybe they'll throw this series so they can play OKC instead of Denver. They haven't, if I recall right, I don't think they beat Denver at all this year as far as the season series concerned in the regular season. Denver has owned them. They own them in the playoffs. They've owned them in the regular season. The Lakers, everybody's saying the Lakers will throw this so they don't have to play Denver, because it's an easier matchup to play OKC.
Yeah, I don't buy
However, this is LeBron James. Like, the dude is like one of the greatest ever.
That.
One, he wants to win. And two, I would assume he wants the challenge to take on Denver in the first round. And
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to add, too, he also said he feels better now than he has in a while. So he's healthy. He wants to take full advantage of this because he knows the clock's ticking.
And maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like, wouldn't you want it? If they think that might be their hardest competition to beat there in the West, right? They think Denver's the best team, especially matchup-wise against them, that they have trouble with. Wouldn't you want to hit them right now when you're
like
the most powerful, right? When you get
and
to
again,
the Western
with
Conference
momentum. Exactly. They're not going to throw the game. I'd be, in fact, I'll be stunned if they lose in any form or fashion. I've got LA easily winning this game and taking the number 7 seed and playing, like you said, against the Nuggets.
I do, and I think people are underestimating the hell out of Oklahoma City. I don't understand. I think I told our buddy Trader Pat on the phone the other day. I said last year I picked the Denver Nuggets, the number 1 seed, to lose to the number 8 Minnesota Timberwolves. I thought they were going to upset them, and it was the main reason I thought that was because they had no experience. They're unproven, right? And we thought that all throughout the year. Well, now we got the Oklahoma City Thunder, like the youngest successful team in the history of the NBA, pretty much. And they're unproven and they have no experience. So why can't they do it? Just same way Denver did it last year.
And they have the camaraderie. I mean, those guys are all locked in. Everybody knows their role. Everybody seems pretty healthy. You know, I touched on SGA and J-Dub, you know, coming back from their injuries. They've looked fine. I think everybody's good to go. Holmgren's gotten better. He had kind of a slow stretch there for a minute, but he looks like he's gaining momentum. And I like the Thunder a lot.
I've never seen a team be so disrespected in the recent history that I can remember of the playoffs. Between Jason Tatum, the disrespect he gets, and the team of the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think those are the two most disrespected teams and player in the entire playoff scenario.
Well, and I think the reason why they're disrespected is because they're unproven, or they just haven't gone all the way. They haven't accomplished the number one goal of winning the whole thing. So, but like you said, they've got a very good chance, both of them. So, and we'll get into that. But so we've got the Lakers getting the 7th seed. So the 9-10 matchup is between the Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors.
Rematch.
Rematch. And both teams are kind of coming in way different than they were a year ago in terms of momentum, in terms of health. But I'm sticking with my prediction from last year. I'm taking Golden State.
Yeah, last year I took Sacramento. I thought Sacramento was a better team last year. And I still think, to this day, I still think they were a better team than Golden State last year. I'll stand on that. But this year, no, I think the those injuries, Malik Monk injuries, Kevin Herter injury, those two are huge. Those are big parts.
And I'm stunned that they didn't do anything about that. I know that they're starting Keon Ellis and he's been playing pretty well, but I'm stunned that they didn't go out and try to get somebody.
Yep.
I mean, they've had guys, the Kings have had guys in the last year or two who are familiar with the team and Mike Brown's system that they could have just brought on as insurance. Like, they literally did nothing. And that surprises me. But it also tells me that, you know, they just might not be ready to give it a real go here. And Golden State, on the other hand, you know, they're starting to get a little bit more healthy after having guys in and out. Guys are starting to click a little bit, and they're Golden State. You know, they're proven. They've got the experience. It's going to be a tough run, but I do think that they win this game. And then I actually think they go ahead and beat the Pelicans and take the 8 seed.
What the heck did I have? Yeah, no, I believe I have the same.
And I love it because that sets us up for OKC and Golden State at 1-8. And that's the Chris Paul, former Thunder, the student becomes the teacher.
Wow.
After he, you know, kind of took SGA and mentored him for a season. And I love that dynamic. And I just, and then obviously too, just like you were saying, you've got this young, unproven, inexperienced team against this old, you know, but very successful Warriors team. And it's just going to be a awesome matchup. I mean, obviously it has to come to fruition here and Golden State needs to win and get that number 8 seed. But if they do, that's going to be must see TV. I mean, obviously all the playoffs will be must see TV, but especially this matchup here.
Minus the Rockets, there's literally a path that Chris Paul could play all of his former teams. So if they played New Orleans, then they take out OKC, then they would play the Clippers.
Yeah.
If the Clippers win.
To be clear, I don't think it's going to happen, but
And then they could play Phoenix in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, but I don't know. I was going to say one more thing about Golden State is they've last year they had a lot of road trouble and road war. They were not road warriors. Sorry, I can't say that correctly. And that's one reason I didn't like them in the Sacramento series last year, because you're going 7 and you're playing 4 games in Sacramento. Now they're playing this game in Sacramento as well. But they've proven, you can look at their record, they've kind of gotten over that. They've been a lot better on the road this year. But like you said, they're just kind of getting hot at the right time, getting healthy and starting to roll. I guess the other scenario is too, I couldn't imagine what it would be like if the Lakers did lose to New Orleans and we had LA, Golden State, one game, one team goes home, the other team moves on to the playoffs.
It would be really amazing. Cool. And it almost happened. I actually thought that was going to happen for a while. But Pelicans kind of fell apart and lost their number 6 seed. And here we are. So, but yeah, sounds like you and I are pretty much in agreement for the whole play-in tournament. So let's get into some first round stuff.
Let's do it.
So let's, I say we go back to the East.
Yep.
And let's go ahead. So if we're assuming that Miami makes it into that 8 seed, we've got Celtics Heat. What are you thinking?
This is true. I should have wrote down how many games because I picked how many games.
I did the
games.
Same thing. I picked the winner, but I didn't pick the games. So I'm going to do it on the fly.
I was going to say I did pick the games. I'm just trying to remember what I actually picked at that time, but I'm just looking at the image of the actual winners. Obviously, I did take Boston.
Jason Tatum.
Same.
I can't think of any way Boston loses unless, you know, some type of injury to a star player, and even that's tough. There's actually a Twitter post, I don't know if you saw, that I put on there. Somebody put out it was the most field goals per, you know, area of the court, and it showed the person.
I did see that. That was really interesting.
So it was a very cool thing, and then it says, what jumps out to you? And I responded on our Twitter, and I said, what jumps out to me is the 64 win Boston Celtics, you know, have tons of weapons. And this idiot, this guy comes on there and he comments and he goes, the Celtics aren't even on this image, and these crying, laughing faces and stuff. And then I responded and I said, that's what I'm saying. I go, like, they have so many weapons that they're able to spread the ball all around the court in all different places, be effective with so many different players, and that they don't even show up on this because they're not, you know, taking all the shots in all these spots and just specific spots. They're just,
and that's a fantastic point.
They're dangerous. They're deadly. I mean, I'll straight out say it. I have them winning the NBA championship. Anything less than that is a bust to them. And yep. It's a bust to me. I mean, the team they have and how what they have together, they should win a ring this year. So yep. I have them beating Miami. I think it's in 5, actually.
Okay. I'm going to say 6. But yeah, same. I completely agree with everything you just said. And we talked about Miami. I think it's going to be a struggle for them just to come out of the play-in. And yeah, I don't see them being able to beat Boston. I mean, obviously we've talked all about it, playoff Jimmy and just this team, Heat culture,
yep,
all of that. But I just don't see the depth. And yeah, I don't see them getting past a team like Boston for as dominant as they've been.
And it's the other way around though. If Miami actually somehow beats Philadelphia in that play-in game and they're playing the Knicks and then the winner of the Bucks and the Pacers, I can see a totally different route for Miami. However,
yes, agreed.
However, I wouldn't see it, but I see a more possibility on that side than having to play a juggernaut like Boston. So.
Yeah, it would be interesting though, because then you'd have that like Miami New York matchup again.
Another rematch. Yep.
Yep.
There's rematches all around here. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
We'll talk about obviously the, you know, one coming up here on the bottom half of that bracket, but
yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Well, let's, I guess, do you want to do, so if we have Philly getting the 7th spot, they're going to play the Knicks.
Correct.
2-7.
Yep. And yeah, that is a,
I'll go first for this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Philly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough. I'm going to say Philly in 7.
I have the Knicks in 7. Basically, they just got that home court, so that's kind of why I like the Knicks in 7.
Yeah, that's true, and they're playing well. They're playing real well with the guys that they have left.
I don't know.
And they have guys that they can throw at Embiid.
I mean, that's probably actually the series, if it does turn out Philly-New York, that I'm probably the least confident in the winner of that series compared to the other three, which is maybe weird, but I watched the Knicks game the other day against the Wolves, and it wasn't there. They were like missing something in that game. They've also had, you know, the news that, you know, certain guys aren't coming back, like Randall wasn't coming back, and season-ending surgeries, and
yep.
OG, you know, that's not working out right now. So I don't know if they're doing it. To their credit, they're doing it. They won 50 games this year, but I don't know if they can sustain that throughout the playoffs. I just don't know. And as far as like their big guys, if Embiid is any sort of healthy, yeah, I don't know if the Knicks beat them. But if Embiid's iffy, yeah, you know, they got a great, probably.
They got a chance either way. And I think it's going the distance. I think it's going all 7 games. But I've got Philly. I think they're going to find a way to push through. I think that point guard matchup is going to be phenomenal. Brunson against Maxey.
It's going to be nuts. I think a lot of these series always come down to those X factor. Who's going to show up, who you don't, not the star guys you don't expect. So like for me, if it is New York and Philly, Tobias Harris is the guy for me.
I was about to say that too.
If he plays well, Philadelphia probably wins that series. If he doesn't have a
couple
great
other
series.
Guys, yeah, a couple other guys I mentioned in the previous segment, Buddy Hield, Kelly Oubre Jr., they've both played really well. They do have Melton back now, but he's extremely limited. I don't really trust him. But he's still another guy that they can throw out there, especially, and I mentioned this, but if they need defensive stops and stuff, you know, they can put him in, you know, during stretches and kind of change the pace of the game.
Yep.
And he just gives them another weapon. So
I can't remember. I'd have to look it up, but that's probably one thing I should think of is what's like Hartenstein against Embiid. How effective has one been against the other in that center position?
Yeah, that's
I don't
a good
know.
Point. That's a good point. I mean, it's Embiid. You got to assume he's pretty dominant.
And that's another thing, actually, now that I think about it, is if Embiid's out there, he gets to the foul line a lot. And if he gets the foul line a lot, the Knicks are getting in foul trouble, most likely.
They are, but at least they've got some bodies back now. Like Mitch Robb is
that's
technically
true.
Available.
Yeah, I forgot
I don't
about
know
Mitch
that
Robb.
We're going to see him. We're not going to see him at full strength, but I mean, like, he's still a guy that they can put out there, and he can use his fouls, and he can do more than just foul too. He can do some stuff on both ends. So, yep. Yeah, he's a lob threat, and we know what he can do defensively. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough, tight series. It's going to be a ton of fun to watch, and I completely agree with you. I think it's going the distance, and I think it's going to come down to the X factors.
Yep.
So, obviously, it comes down to the health of the stars, you know, specifically Embiid. But, yeah, every X factor, every role player has to play their role, you know, to a T. And whichever team does that the best, obviously, will win.
Yeah, it could turn into a bench fight too. Whose bench outplays the other? You never know. So
yeah, you know, New York doesn't use much of a bench. They kind of just play their guys. You know, I think they're going to kind of just go with who they have. But you're right; they do have some options. They've got some guys that they can use a little bit more than they maybe have.
Yeah, heading McBride's into the playoffs, of the world. You don't know what you're going to get.
Bogdanovich, who they got from our Pistons.
Yep.
So especially if they're, you know, looking for a spark offensively. So it's going to be fun. Yep. I think, you know, assuming that that's the matchup, we got to see, you know, obviously the Sixers got to take care of business and win that first game against the Heat. So we'll have to see.
That's true.
Let's get into the two matchups that we know are happening. And you and I were talking before we hit record here, the 3-6 matchup, Milwaukee Bucks, Indiana Pacers. I'm going Pacers. I'm not feeling the Bucks at all this year. I just think we don't know what's going on with Giannis. It's sounding like he's going to miss more than just one or two games here. He might miss a few games, and that on top of the fact that the Bucks have been so inconsistent. Doc Rivers hasn't really, you know,
fresh milk.
He's made an impact, you know, and the players have backed him up, but you know, from a record standpoint, we haven't really seen a major change or shift from, you know, prior to him coming in. So yeah, man, I just don't like this team. I don't have a good feeling about them. And I understand that they won before, but that was a totally different team with a different point guard. And that's no, you know, knock on Lillard, except for he's not the lockdown defender that Jrue Holiday was and is. And so completely different dynamic there. And, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence in the Pacers because they're unproven and they don't really defend, and you have to be able to defend in the playoffs. But I'm just so down on Milwaukee right now that I'm picking the Pacers.
I hate to agree with everything, but I have so many points on this one that I'm actually like 90-10 Pacers, like 90% they win the series. And I could totally be wrong, but there's just way too many factors, like you said, that are adding up against the Bucks. And I could go into a few of them. One, I mean, this is a rematch of the in-season tournament semifinal.
I was about to say, these teams do not like each other.
They hate each other. And the Pacers have such a chip on their shoulder to beat them. The Pacers also are being so Tyrese Halliburton, another guy who's felt some disrespect lately, and different things from, you know, getting on Team USA and people saying, why is he on there? And among other things, but he seems to be, you know, somewhat healthy at the right time. The Pacers are 3-1 against Milwaukee in the regular season. So they're winning the season series. If you get in a track meet, like you just said, the Pacers have no defense, right? Milwaukee ain't got shit for defense. Milwaukee was losing to teams that there's no way they should have lost to.
Yep.
In just the last few weeks of the season. I mean, they were losing to teams that weren't even playing their starters. Like it was embarrassing. Yeah. It was insane. And then you take on, like you just said, Giannis not being a full Giannis. We saw what happened when Giannis wasn't a full Giannis last year. They lost to Miami in the first round. So I feel like this is just a repeat of last year. And yes, I don't think there's any way they come out of the first round.
Yeah, Chris Middleton, he's been in and out of the lineup, starting to show his age a little bit. I don't think they have a lot of depth either. So if Giannis is out, I don't know. They're going to have to go.
Dame doesn't – I know we don't like talking about this guy, but Stephen A. Smith said, I saw something the other day. He said Dame, you know, he's not happy in Milwaukee, but he doesn't look happy. He does not look happy at all when he's playing. And
this wasn't the team he
wanted
to go to. I mean, no. I think he just looked it over and said, well, they've got Giannis and they've won a championship, so it could be worse. But, you know, it wasn't the destination he wanted to go to. And yeah, absolutely. If this thing, you know, folds, if they come crashing down here in the first round, Lillard might be one of many changes that are going to happen here. So yeah, it doesn't look good. You know, we'll have to see. And we do have to give them credit. They have the experience. They've done it before. But like I said, you know, different circumstances, different team. So, and I completely agree. I've got the Pacers. In terms of games, I don't know. I'm going to say...
I had the Pacers in six is what I had.
I think that's what I'm going to say, too. I'm going to say six games.
Yep.
All right.
And then we got one more series there, right?
In the East, yeah. We've got the 4-5 matchup, Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic. Orlando, I got to give them a ton of credit. I mean, they've done what we're hoping the Pistons can do and take their young guys and take them to the next level. And next level, meaning a firm spot in the playoffs. They didn't even, you know, they shot well past the play-in territory. And they got firmly in that fifth seed. It's unfortunate they couldn't make it up to number four and get the home court, because that would have been really helpful for them. Cleveland, obviously, they, you know, were very disappointing last year in the playoffs. I think they're going to build off of that. They're coming in with a little bit better momentum here. Guys are healthier. And I've just got a better feel for this team in this situation against this Orlando team that is an experienced and going through this, you know, brand new here. So I've got Cleveland. I think Cleveland takes it, and I'm going to say five games.
I have this one being a little tougher. I've got Cleveland in seven. I think Orlando is going to surprise some people and show up. And honestly, like,
I mean, they already have. And I think they're going to continue. And so, yeah, as much as I want to say, you know, this series gets extended longer, I do just think Cleveland has a lot more depth and a lot more, you know, just experience and I think just overall confidence, you know, but we'll have to see.
And it's, I mean, like any game, this is, I mean, obviously this is a stupid comment. It comes down to shooting, who makes more baskets, right? But
I think
you've got Orlando with this, all these young backcourt players, right? And we've seen some, you know, some light, some little, what, spurt ability from some of these guys, like the Anthonys and, you know, Jalen Suggs had played well in certain games and stuff here.
Fultz,
as we've approached the playoffs, that, you know, these guys have been having good games. So, I mean, if you get those kind of performances out of those guys, I mean, honestly, I would say you said you wish they could get up to get that home court at number four. And I think if they were number four, I'd probably take them to win in seven. It's that close, I think, in my mind. However, you say five, I could totally see that too, because if you have, you know, Jared Allen is amazing. Evan Mobley's back playing great. Those two guys alone can do things. And then Max Strus has looked good too as of late as well. He just had a triple double the other day, I believe, Max Strus.
And even before Strus came back, I mean, they were getting good production out of guys like Okoro, Nyang,
Levert
for sure.
Yep.
And then their backcourt, I mean, if they're healthy and they take care of their business, I mean, Mitchell and Garland should dominate the series, in my opinion. They should. And if they do, I don't see it going past five games, but we'll see how it plays out. It looks like we're both in agreement that Cleveland advances.
I would say
advances.
If both teams play to their full potential, yeah, I think Cleveland probably does win it a little bit faster than I think. But you got, like, you know, Paolo. I think Paolo can be amazing. He's just been so inconsistent to me, and, you know, throughout the year. But if he shows up for like an entire series and is like awesome, you know, 100% A plus Paolo, I mean, he could be a huge factor and, you know, make them a little more competitive. But either way, not having home court, playing a team that's really good in Cleveland, yes, I don't think they have a chance of beating Cleveland.
Yeah. All right, let's bring it over to the West, and let's jump right on that Thunder, and then assuming the Warriors. We both have the Warriors winning to get into that 8th seed. So I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, I'll start it. I have the Thunder for sure. Actually, I think, like I said earlier, I think the Thunder are underrated, even though they're the top seed in the Western Conference. They've again throughout season series, they've been way better against Golden State head to head. They've got so many weapons. Obviously health is a huge thing, but they stay healthy. I can't see Steph Curry beating the Thunder by himself because the Thunder are such a good
team. He definitely can't beat him by himself. If Golden State's going to win this series, and again, they have to get there. So assuming that they can get to this spot, he's going to need Klay Thompson to be maybe not vintage Klay, but near vintage Klay. Draymond has to play and play to his strengths and be available and not get kicked out or suspended or anything stupid like that. They don't have time to spare for that. And they just need to get the kind of production they've been getting from guys like Wiggins and Podziemski and Kuminga, but they're going to need all of those guys to play to their highest levels to even have a chance of winning this series.
I was going to say one other thing. I think usually, obviously I'm into betting. One of the teams that gives up the most rebounds is the Oklahoma City Thunder. For example, if you look at a stat at the end of the day and you see Golden State is out, getting tons of offensive rebounds and getting second chance points, I think that's the way they beat Oklahoma City.
Maybe we'll see some more Kevon Looney. We haven't seen him much this season, but, they've gone to him in the playoffs. They've gone to him in the past, and this could be a good matchup for him.
But, yeah, if they're not on top of taking advantage to that, the boards that they could be, then I think the Thunder pretty much walk with it. I think I have the Thunder in actually 5.
I've got him in 6. Yeah. But, yep. I think OKC's earned it. Obviously they have to, defend their home court. And whoever they face is going to be a tough opponent. But, they've looked great. SGA might be the MVP. Obviously in the running.
Yeah. On the outside looking in, though, unfortunately, as far as we see some of these people with their ballot reveals.
Yeah, so. We'll see. We'll see. He's definitely in the mix there. And then obviously Chet Holmgren, if it wasn't for Victor Wembanyama, Chet would be Rookie of the Year. J-Dub, we've talked all about him. He's been incredible this year.
Josh Giddey's been great.
Giddey's been pretty solid. And, I think Gordon Hayward, this is his time to shine. This is why they got him.
Yep.
He's that veteran who's been through it a little bit and, just can bring that energy off the bench and give them that spark. And this is this is why they got him.
Yep.
So,
you could just name off their whole roster. They've all been great. Lou Dort.
Bunch of young, hungry players ready to showcase everything they've worked for.
I just think all the awful, bad criticism against them is going to bring them up even another notch. So
it should. And Mark Daigneault sounding like he could be Coach of the Year.
I think that actually might have been announced. I can't remember.
It was the coaches voted for him, but not the official one. So
yeah,
he's on his way.
Yep. Rightfully so, though.
Yeah. And then, so like we said, you and I both have the Lakers getting in that 7th spot, beating the Pelicans. So they would take on the Denver Nuggets.
And, Golden Nuggets.
As much as I think that could be a good matchup, I've got Denver beating the Lakers. And I don't think this one goes 7 games. I'm kind of torn between 5 or 6, but I think Denver's going to beat them. We were saying Denver pretty much dominated the matchup during the regular season.
I don't think they lost to him in the regular season, if I remember right.
I'm going to say Nuggets in 5. I think the games are competitive, but.
Yeah, I have the Nuggets winning. I think I put 5. I can't remember. Sounds
Wouldn't
about right, though.
Wouldn't be shocked to see it go 6, but.
I just, Yeah, I don't even know how to break this one down. I just think Denver's has their number. I mean, just is what it is. And I don't think AD is 100%, and he needs to be, because the Nuggets are a good team.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and the Nuggets know who they are. You know, they obviously had the success that they had last year, and they've been great this season. They were right there in the mix for the number one spot. Came down to the very end.
Yeah, they proved a lot, because they seemed like they had some questions in the first half of the year they were trying to work through, and the second half of the year has just been so solid that, you know, exactly what I said already earlier. they're just better. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, I think we can move on. Let's go to that 3-6 matchup. Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, that one's interesting.
It is.
This was a really tough one, actually, to make a decision on. I ended up taking Phoenix in this one.
Same.
That's the one.
Obviously, everybody knows, I've talked about it a few times, that I took Minnesota to upset Denver last year in the first round. They took them, what, 5? And they played competitively. But I don't know. Something's up with that team. I feel like they're losing momentum right now.
So you and I were texting on Sunday, the last day of the regular season, and those two teams were playing each other.
Yep.
And I said, I think Minnesota is purposely losing this game, and I think that's going to be a major mistake, because now they've given all the momentum to Phoenix and all the confidence, and they already have, you know, an uphill battle. You know, they just got Karl Anthony Towns back. They just got him back. Yep. And, you know, as good as he is, he's clearly not 100%. And, yeah, they don't have a ton of depth. Now, obviously, neither does Phoenix. But I just think, you know, you're giving them that extra confidence boost to start the series. And you're at home, but you're this young, inexperienced team. I don't like the way that it's shaken out. I think Phoenix comes out early. I think they steal home court, and I think they take it in 5 or 6 games.
You're saying everything I have played out in my head too. I think they win game one for sure. I do. I have Phoenix in 5 as well, or no, 6. I'm sorry, I don't have them 5. I have them in 6.
I said 5 or 6. I didn't pick one. What did you say? You're going 6?
Yeah, I have them in 6.
All right, I'll say 5 just to be different.
Yeah, I think they're going, like you said, opposite directions. I think Phoenix is actually starting to figure stuff out at the right time. The only thing that a little scares me is the height. You know, they got Nurkic. They don't have a lot of huge big guys there. So if Karl Anthony Towns does actually, you know, get some more minutes and play somewhat efficiently, plus the Goberts, the Naz Reeds and stuff like that, I think size could be a factor.
I think Eubanks is going to play a pretty good role here, because, I mean,
he needs to.
You're right. Minnesota, not just Towns, not just Gobert, but Naz Reed too.
Yeah.
And they're going to need that extra size and length and fouls.
and Bol Bol, man, he could come into a factor.
Great call.
Here.
I think he will.
I think
at least a little bit.
I don't know. I got on this. I think last year I had Phoenix going to the Western Conference Finals, and I'll go ahead and say I have them going to the Western Conference Finals again here. I think they're hot at the right time. They have so much talent. They have so much potential. I think Booker's probably been overlooked a little bit too, and he might feel that, get a little bit of chip on his shoulder as well. I just like it. I like Phoenix a lot.
Yeah. And this last matchup, this is the one that I never came up with an answer for this. So we're going to do this live on the spot.
Yeah,
the 4-5 matchup. We've got the LA Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks.
Mine's solely based on Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi Leonard, if he's deemed to be somewhat okay and fine, and we think he's going to be all right, I like the Clippers here. I think they defensively, then obviously they can't stop Luka, they can't stop Kyrie, but I think that's all, you know, Dallas really is those two players. As those two players kick ass, Dallas goes. So I think if they can slow down one of them, let's say they go at Kyrie and let Luka go off, I think they can still do enough where the rest of the supporting cast of Dallas is not good as the collective LA Clippers. So I like the Clippers better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, I think it all comes down to Kawhi. I'm actually looking right now as we speak to see if there's an update. I'm not seeing anything at the moment.
Because if you're giving me George and Harden versus Kyrie and Doncic, I'm going to take the Kyrie Doncic. I'm going to take it every day. But if you're giving me George, Harden, and Kawhi, another story.
Yeah. No, but, I completely agree.
This is great. We've agreed on everything. We haven't even talked about this.
We have. No, and we also, you know, last year we had a couple disagreements, which made it fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think, you know, we're thinking kind of the same way. And again, a lot of it is just too many unknowns here. You know, yeah. We need to find out. Because like you said, if Kawhi doesn't play, I mean, this is almost like a repeat of last year with Paul George.
Correct.
Where he wasn't out there. And then Kawhi wound up himself getting hurt. Yeah. And missing the last couple games. And as soon as that happened, the Clippers were out of it. Because as good and deep as they are, those are their leaders. Those are their pillars. And, you know, you lose those guys, you don't stand a chance.
That's exactly right.
So it all comes down to that. But, you know, that's just want to reiterate that Dallas has had a fantastic season. Luka and Kyrie have been amazing. I love both of them. I love them in fantasy. Gafford, he's been up and down. Obviously, we talked all about him. When they first got him, he was amazing. Then they went away from him for a little bit there. There was that stretch where we were talking about him as a drop. And that's nuts because then they started playing him again, and he's been awesome again. And Derek Lively's been in and out of the lineup, and he's had some personal stuff. I think he unfortunately lost his mother. And so he's been dealing with that lately. But, yeah, they're going to need all hands on deck. And I do think that they're going to get good performances from those guys. PJ Washington has played really well lately for them too. So definitely want to shout him out. But yeah, I just don't think between the lack of depth in Dallas, coupled with the assumption that Kawhi and PG are healthy and play and play their games. I just don't think Dallas has enough in the tank to get past that.
I agree. And I think it turns out, I mean, they've played them, what, in the first round in 2020 and 2021, so two of the last 4 years, and the Clippers have won both of those matchups as well. I know that, obviously, they're not the same teams, but I think it plays a little bit of a factor, the history there. I don't know if we're going a little further into this bracket, but we got to get into the other half, sorry. We had Phoenix and Denver, so that was the last first round.
Yeah, I think we covered everything. I think that's the whole first round. So I think we could probably put a pin in it for now. You know, save the rest for, you know, the next week or two.
For sure. You might have to save your dream team too. I think we talked about this pretty long.
We did, yeah. So we'll get into next week, we'll get into Team USA. I wanna ask you though, real quick while I have you.
Sure.
The DeAndre Ayton. and I saw when he said this, and then I saw that you bookmarked it, but I was laughing even before you bookmarked it. I saw it.
Yeah. I can't even remember exactly.
He said
the quote
he's happy to finally have the opportunity to showcase his talents. And his direct quote was, "What I showed you guys the second half of the season is what I've been trying to show my whole career." What's that? That you could put up numbers in meaningless games on crappy teams.
Exactly. With no competition, garbage time, all that stuff. And if you truly thought that you're being very good, right? And fantasy wise, yes, great. You're putting up awesome numbers for us fantasy
like
players.
We said, whoever had him in fantasy, congratulations.
Yeah, that's great. But also, how long have you been in the league? I don't even know how many years he's been in the league now. But
more than enough.
I know he had some, you know, really good years early with Phoenix, and then
he's
just
a good player. He's
trailed
not
off.
Like a bad player by any means, but he just says and does stupid shit like this.
Mine's all the motor. He's just missing a motor. I don't know what it is. I don't know what drives him.
He's missing some screws, man. Like to say stuff like this, when look at your team, like, dude, you're losing every fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, I get that you have good stats, but that shouldn't be something that makes you happy.
And he's proved that, though, because he talked about that, right? He's like, I just want to get a max contract. And exactly. Everybody gave him
that's just it.
Crap about that. And you're as it still goes on, yes, no, that is the type of person he is. I just want to get as much money as I can.
He was.
I don't care about the team. I just care about my own stats, and that's about it. And he's like, oh, this is a high number. It doesn't mean you're – just because you have – you know, high totals don't mean you're efficient and a good player. It doesn't, whatever. I could go off. I've talked about DeAndre Ayton so many times on this podcast.
We both have, but I had to ask, you know, we had to bring that one up. So
yeah,
definitely while I had you here, but yeah, I think that's going to do it for this show.
Time to go, Maryland.
We'll be back again next week for episode 45. Thank you for listening to Menace Podman. Find new episodes every week wherever you stream your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find audio podcasts. Please leave us a rate and review. We'd greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Scott.
Sounds good. Pleasure to be back. Talk. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money.
Menace Podman.